I think we are live now.
If we are
Yes,
live,
we are
yes.
live. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Human Experience Podcast. This is your host, Eldin Hassa. I'm very excited, actually. I am live on Facebook with my guest, Jessica Olsen-Zabel. I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly. And she is an amazing transformational coach, also property investor and developer. And I am very excited to have Jessica come on my podcast and share her human experience and share her journey of her life, of her business. And as always, we have these guests come on and share various tools, what was meaningful in their life and what they've actually applied and utilized to transform their life, to move between where they were to where they are today. So, welcome, Jessica.
Thank you so much. How are you today?
Yeah, I am great. Yes. So, tell us a little bit more about what inspired you to be where you are today. Let's start there, and then we can tell them where you are today.
Okay. Well, my story started, I guess, from very early years. Well, I chose a path, I guess, into this life that wasn't the easiest path, let me put it that way. And I came from sexual trauma in my or abuse in my childhood, and also sexual a rape in my teenage years, and so on, you know, and that spiraled into having a couple of very abusive relationships and so on, because my worthiness was very, very low from what I had gone through as a child and so on. And I guess with my mom's death at 19 years ago, that was my first sort of really dark, dark moment where I really started working on myself and realizing that I was the cause of a lot of the stuff that I was feeling inside of my body and so on. And I went to a shrink for the first time. I actually got myself some help and I started feeling somewhat better, but I still had that void inside of my body. And I decided to become a life coach. So I started to be a life coach, and I did that for some time in combination with being a professional interior designer. So I still had that void inside, but I felt more healed. So I did the same pattern as I had done before, and I went into yet another abusive relationship. So and I stuck with that for eight years, with breaks and things inside of it, trying to get out of it, but I didn't manage. And when I left, finally put my rose-tinted glasses down forever and said, this is not where I'm supposed to be, and this is not where I'm thriving. That's when the true healing started. It started with a massive dip. My health went down the hill. You know, I had seizures, I had blackouts, I was in and out of the hospital, I lost my driving license. I almost lost my business, my interior design business, and I also had a maintenance for estate agency maintenance company here in London. And I was a high achiever, you know. I was very much into my career, and I was it was falling apart. Everything was falling apart. But what I realized afterwards was that was my lessons. It was my learnings. It had to fall apart to rebirth who I am today. And when the specialist, after many years of figuring out why I was in this, why I had so many things wrong in my body, and they couldn't really find, because tests and things came out as there is nothing wrong inside of my body, and they put it down to dissociative seizures, dissociative everything that I had going on in my body. So I realized that I'm the only one that can cure me. So that's when I really said, F it, Jessica. Put your anger down and put your disappointment with men, especially, down. Just put it down and say, enough is enough. You got to heal yourself. So the day I forgave my ex is the day I started healing. The day I let go of the anger I was holding towards him for what he had done to me, and I realized I'm doing this to myself, is when I started healing. That's when my body started repairing itself, and it's when I started my self-love journey. And I was very together before that. I was a very self-confident person, always were, you know, and I could hold fort anywhere. I could go into any room. I had the light before that, but what I didn't have was internal love for my core of self, right? So suddenly I did that, and I also did Ryan Pennick's experience and super genius and all that, which also really sparked who I am today. It really was my foundation in a way to what I dove into, really, you know, and who and how I work today with my beautiful people I have around, you know. I'm all here for saving humanity and give them light. That's my main purpose in this life. It's to be the light and to be pure love. And I live and I practice pure love. And pure love, I mean unconditional. I don't put conditions, I don't judge. Fair enough. Occasionally I do. No one is perfect. But I really try to live from a very pure state of mind and very pure lifestyle, as in I don't wrap myself in too much in the 3D world, so to speak. You know, I'm very much trying to just be steady, you know.
That's amazing. Yes, well, we've known each other for a while, and yes, I know you about, you know, your profession, all the amazing things that you have been doing as a transformational coach and property investor, interior designer. And I know now we're going to get you to tell us more about your retreats. And I know now you're doing retreats, and yeah, you are about to shoot a documentary, and you've got many projects to actually fulfill your mission, which is, as you say, to empower humanity, to help
10 million people. That's what I'm aiming towards. 10 million people with help. It's not only me, but with help.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, collaborative effort, isn't it? But, you know, obviously you came across a lot of people who are on a similar mission, and you kind of come from various angles to fulfill that mission. I mean, perhaps they have different skill sets and different tools that will enable you to get there faster, the 10 million people, you know, through various ways, I guess, you know, your retreats, your workshops, your documentary, your short films, and everything else that you are doing. And this is why you are here today, to share your human experience, because, and it's your life's experience, your human experience is the real kind of hero's journey, if you will. That's what actually brought you to be where you are today. And if you think about it, some of the best films or books or any even music, it's all about the hero's journey. And this is why people fall in love with those kind of movies, TV shows, documentaries, you know, sporting events. And you know why? Because they secretly believe in their own greatness. And so when they see an ordinary person, you know, they don't look anything special in terms of, like, they don't look like a vegan, they don't look like have a six pack, they don't look like some whatever, this stereotypical, or, you know, just an ordinary person who has been able to, despite all odds, against all odds, as you say, sexual abuse, a lot of trauma from childhood, and then later on in your adult life, you actually have gone into that healing journey, which it's most important journey in life, and you've been courageous to do it, you know, and it's that courage. So just to kind of break it down for the listeners and viewers, I know it was messy when you decided the day. What was the day that you decided enough is enough? I need to be courageous to actually begin this journey.
The day was literally, I had had 10 blackouts that day, and I was literally on the floor crawling around. I was so fed up with the situation I was in because I could not run. And I'm so focused. I'm a very focused person, right? So my big focus then was obviously still career. Throughout all this mess, it was career, right? And I was frustrated that I couldn't actually go to the meetings I had planned and that I couldn't run my day as it was supposed to be run in my head, because I was still quite a bit in my head at that time. You know, I hadn't really fully dropped to my heart. So I was planning a lot of things in my mind, and I was annoyed with my body not working with me. So I was there on the floor, and at that moment, I just literally, I got my phone and I looked at it, and I was trying to call someone that didn't answer, but my face was there. I could see myself in that glass of the phone, and I literally just looked at myself and I thought, what are you doing? You got to change this. You got to just heal yourself. You know, it's, you have to take responsibility for this shit that you are keep on going into. So literally that's what I did. I was there and I thought, this is it. This is my moment. This is moment. And that moment was the pivot for what I am today. And that was literally now 7 years ago. 7 years ago, yeah.
Wow. Incredible, incredible. And I love the fact how you said responsible.
Yeah.
For what I am responsible. And this is, I'd like you to kind of delve a little bit deeper about, you know, what in your own language is that response able, that responsibility, because a lot of people have the misconception that, you know, feeling responsible for your own self and for your own life, for your own healing, for your own circumstances, it's like a kind of like a bad thing, you know, I'm responsible. It's too much weight on my shoulders kind of thing. You know, people shy away from it. Mm-hmm. It's not comfortable kind of to actually A, say I'm responsible, and B, what can I do about it?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think this is the misconception we have about responsibility. When we have had trauma in our life, it's very easy to think that, well, it was done to me. You know, all this stuff happened to me, and, you know, poor me. So we are in victimhood. Literally, we are keep on reliving victimhood because we're trapped in our emotion and we are trapped in the triggers from our childhood and so on. So for me, because I was very emotionally intelligent, so I didn't start from zero when I made that decision. I was incredibly tuned with who I was and my emotions and so on. So I had already done a lot of the work. But for me, the responsibility came from how I was responding to my happenings that had happened already. It was already in the past. I couldn't change it. So therefore, how do I go forward? How do I move myself in a forward movement towards healing? And I wasn't spiritual at the time. I'm highly spiritual today, but I understood spirituality, but I didn't have a clue really about spirituality at the time. And that also came hand in hand with all this, because it started opening doors. The more I healed, the more psychic I became, the more my intuition was sort of out there. And you know, again, going back to the super genius and Ryan Pennick, that really brought my intuition out. And I realized that I had stored all this beautiful magic within myself, but because I had such low self-acceptance and self-worth, I hadn't utilized it. Because I always doubted myself within myself, right? On the outside, I looked like the most secure person on earth, you know?
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah, it's. I love what you said. And for those of you who for the very first time with us on the Human Experience podcast, the name, it's basically what it says on the tin, on the jar, the Human Experience. we are spiritual beings having the human experience. That's why the name, 4 years ago, this podcast has been around for 4 years and we have over 3 million downloads. Just on Spotify, we have about 800,000 subscribers. So, you know, it's a big, big kind of channel that I've built over the years. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell to the audience a story of a client of which is very almost identical to what Jessica was saying. This happened on Saturday. So this client is a very high achiever lady who is a lawyer, and she's a partner level. So she earns multiple six figures, I think close to a million, if not over a million, with bonuses a year. On paper, she has all the material objects that one can buy with the money. Beautiful house. Yeah. She sends her three children to private schools and she has multiple holidays a year to the best destination. She eats on fine dining. You know, she has two staff, permanent staff in her house, let alone the staff in her office. She's got a housekeeper plus a nanny and, you know, all the support you can imagine. And her problem was very similar to what Jessica was describing, but it was manifesting as a physical pain in her body, mainly in her neck, in her upper shoulders, and sometimes even kind of like mid back and lower back. Mm-hmm. And it was very severe. So she came to me on Saturday evening and she's been complaining about this pain for months. Mm-hmm. And I kept telling her, this is not physical, this is emotional and psychological. She's like, no. And the last session was Saturday. We delved deep. I said, she said, I went to a massage on Saturday, deep tissue massage, pain went away. And then just before this session, she said, the pain came back about an hour ago. I said, why? What triggered it? She goes, the moment I opened my work laptop. And I said, well, there you go. I said, tell me honestly, do you love going to work? What is your inner dominant mental rehearsal relating to your work, to the work laptop? She said, actually, no, I dread. If I'm going to be honest with you, I have panic attacks when I need to open my work laptop. If it's my personal laptop, my personal phone, I'm fine. Give me taking kids to school anytime and doing school run and all the other stuff that parents do and for family and friends, but get me to do the work stuff. And she is a high achiever, like partner, winning awards left, right, and center. She's incredible at her work. She's written textbooks for law degree at universities. Students, they study her work. That's how incredible she is. But even all of that on paper, nothing to complain about. But in reality, I said, if you do not reframe and you don't do cognitive reframing and do the healing that you need to heal, this is going to manifest as some sort of chronic condition, which is going to be very, very serious: cancer, diabetes, heart condition, Alzheimer's, and all of the above, sometimes multiple, from this. And she was like, basically, the moment she has a realization and she did a bit of work with me through my guidance, the pain went away.
Yeah. Yeah, this is it, eh? Because my default setting was people pleasing, you know, because I'm a very kind person. But my kindness before I did my self-healing within myself, my self-love, was people pleasing to such a degree that there was no space or time left for me, right? So I'm still a servant of humanity. I love serving. I love to gift. I love to be kind. I love to be out there and doing various projects. And even what I'm working with now, the retreats and so on, reaching 10 million people, it is to help people actually find themselves within, their naked self within, the authentic self, their truth, and feel the love inside, and to also remove triggers, you know, from childhood, so they can live a bigger life, you know, their best potential. But I find that people pleasing, for example, and a lot of us have that in us, especially women, you know, we are experts at people pleasing a lot of times, because we put ourselves so far down when the kids are coming and so on as well, that we are sort of, you know, in a bracket of losing ourselves more and more and more inside. And I can totally relate to this woman because I had put myself so far down. I have three kids, you know, and I was a single mom. I've been a single mom twice, so to speak, because I've had two different relationships. And throughout, I always had to be the man and the woman, man and the woman, man and the woman. And I had to take care of the household. I had to take care of my financial situation and so on. But I also was pleasing because I felt guilty because I was working a lot, but I wanted to be there for my kids and so on, right? And so I was actually detesting not, I was detesting myself more than anything. I was detesting that I could not be peaceful with just being a mom. That's what I detested the most. That could not actually be kind to myself enough to be loving towards myself and be a mom. So throughout my whole, when my kids were younger, especially the first two ones, not so much the second and my third one, but my first two ones was that I constantly felt guilty for not being okay with just being a mom. I didn't like the label. I was a good mom. I was a great mom, but I didn't like the label of being a mom. I wanted to be the achiever, Jess, you know, the bigger than life sort of Jess, you know, and it didn't go hand in hand with being a mom to me. So,
well, that's part of the societal programming. It could be also like from parents and, you know, your guardians that you grew up with, because society, you know, we are bombarded, like even today, you know, let alone, you know, when we were kids, you and I, but even today, social media, news everywhere, magazines, you know, it's all about making us feel inadequate. You got to look the certain way to feel worthy. You have to own certain objects. You have to wear certain makeup, certain labels to be worthy. Otherwise, if you don't, you know, and people are bombarded. There's a lot of subliminal messaging, and even in your face, not just subliminal. It's like, you know, if you're not achieving, if you're not making £500,000 or dollars a year, and if you're not driving your Lamborghini, you're not worth anything. If you are not, you know, having your tight skin and, you know, and I don't know, like a J-Lo bum, you're not worthy anything. I don't know, like whatever is the label out there. And, you know, and people fall for that. And the reality is that the meat suit, the physical body, you know, it begins after certain years, it begins to sog, the gravity, it begins to change shape, and it begins to, you know, because you are the later part of your life. But if people have not worked on having the ability to self-regulate their nervous system, their emotional state, their emotional resilience, emotional fitness, it's going to affect, you know, their mental and physical health. And it's going to be causation of many chronic conditions. So I'd like you to kind of delve a little bit in this area. And also, if you can share some tips and tricks and tools that you find useful still today that are helping you.
Okay. Yeah, so sorry, I just totally lost track. Say the question again. What did you want me to delve into? Sorry.
So basically what I was saying, you know how people actually dissociate from who they really are because they focus too much on the 3D world, the physical body, the meat suit, the lack of limitation. And I have to go outside, you know, in my external experiences after so many things in order to be worthy. But they don't realize it's the other way around. It's the being number one comes the first. And then you can improve on the doing and having. And there is no perfection in doing and having. But at the core of a being, you already are perfect.
Exactly that. And this is what I, you know, I call myself an educator rather than anything, because I'm not really a coach. I'm a very good listener. And so I'm an educator of a lifestyle rather than anything. So I do guide people. But what I would say in this area and how you actually get started to find self-love, it is you need to, first of all, raise your hand and say, I am responsible for my life. We are not children anymore. So we have to take full responsibility. It doesn't matter that you came from trauma, that you had it, because it's not relevant anymore. Here and now is relevant. And to find that internal love, some people call it the inner child. I like to call it the core of ourselves, you know, that internal seed of us, you know, if that's going to, if you can't water your own garden, that garden is not going to grow. So the key is really to start being kind to the inner child that you have in here, you know, to the core of your heart, to start being kind, to turn the kindness around and make conscious decisions to stop gossiping, to stop talking about your ex, to stop excessively talk about things, you know, just stop all that noise that comes out of the mouth, that constant need of
feeling sorry for yourself, right? The complaining, the blaming, the guilt, the shame, the resentment.
Yeah, and also to go back constantly, refer to the past constantly. It's really eating us up. It just causes so much anxiety in our whole nervous system, you know? The whole nervous system is on fight and flight mode constantly. It's just like, it's like this inside, right? And until we learn to unlearn, we're stuck in this hamster wheel. So it's consciousness. We have to consciously move in to change.
So become aware, the first step, awareness, right? That you are doing it.
Yeah. I am responsible.
Yeah. I love it. And there was one bit at the beginning where you mentioned how you decided you must learn how to forgive your ex for what he did. And I guess for everything that has happened to you in the past. And, you know, there is a quote, something along the line that when you are not forgiving another, it's like you drinking the arsenic, drinking the poison and hoping they will die. Who is getting affected by that feeling of unforgiveness is you. The person that is directed at is clueless. It's like,
they don't care. Let me put it that way. They don't care.
They don't care. B, they're not in your life anymore. I mean, I had a client who needed, you know, coaching and therapy from me. And what happened is that her ex-husband died 15 years prior to she coming to me. She said, he's haunting me from the grave. And for the viewers and listeners who don't know this, I will tell you what Jessica said. The brain and the body does not know the difference that you are experiencing something right here, right now, or you are fabricating something by thought alone. When you are reliving, I'm in the past, and you're talking about, he did this to me, he did that to me, she did that to me, you know, I was this, and I'm a victim because I was sexually abused, and my partner gave a birth to a child that was not my biological son, and all of those things, I went bankrupt. And so when you do all of that, you are actually impairing the structures and functions of your brain, and you are actually making yourself sick. Yeah. And you are feeling it physiologically in the present moment, like the event is happening right here, right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so that's the first step. You got to just say to yourself, sip it. Literally, sip it. Stop letting it come out of your mouth, because that's the first one. And what happens then, do as in take active ways of doing it. I like when people write things down. Journal, gratitude. Gratitude is the big one. You've got to be grateful for what you have. If you constantly chase in the future, which was me, I chased the future, the big deal, the bigger money, the bigger this, the bigger that, you know, I want that. I want more travels. I want to be able to do this. I'm going to show my ex, that was my other one, that he can F off, you know.
I want to show my ex what he lost. Look at me thriving. I'm buying these properties and travel and cars and things. And, you know, look what he's missing, look what he lost.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
F you, yeah, like in your face. I get it. Yeah, I get
exactly. It. So that's how I started out. But then more self-love I pumped into myself. You've got to have gratitude. And you've got to be able to find the present moment comfortable, you know. So you have to face who you are. You have to face to actually sit. And my way of doing that, I did forgiveness mantra. So, oh, ho'oponopono. That was mine, you know. And I kept on repeating that. And I also learned finally, I told myself, you have to stick with meditation for a month, Jessica, and see what happens in your body. And I finally did, because I kept on saying, I labeled myself as, I'm too restless. I'm too
generous.
I can't sit still. You know, that's not for people like me.
Yeah.
When I actually stopped labeling myself as being ADHD or high functioning anxiety and so on, you know, when I little by little stripped all my titles and I just became love.
Yeah.
Life became so simple.
Yeah.
And it isn't actually that it's all light and fairyland and life is just easy. No, it's not like that.
The rainbows and unicorns.
Exactly. Last year was one of my hardest years ever. But nevertheless, when you are in self-love, you trust that that process will evaporate. You know, that process of hardship will go, because in everything, nothing is eternal except our energy, you know. But everything else is just material things or happenings. It happens for you. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I mean, in quantum physics, it's proven, it's called pure consciousness. And that field, quantum field, another label for it is pure consciousness, is what we are made out of and who and what we truly are. That pure consciousness. And actually, as you said, when we strip away all the labels, what we are left with is the pure consciousness.
Yeah.
And even like a simple, very simple technique, but people will ask, so, okay, Jessica has spoken about what she did and you did as well, Eldon. So what do I do? Okay, so practically, if you've never meditated again or ever again in your life, like whatever you tried in the past and now like I'm too ADHD, I'm too this, I'm too that. Well, here, close your eyes for a few moments and just be an observer. And you're going to become familiar of your dominant thoughts, your negative disempowering dominant thoughts, and also negative disempowering dominant feelings. And then you're going to get urges for your body to move. Oh, I got to get the shower. I've got to get my coffee. Yeah. I've got to answer to my emails, my WhatsApp. What is this? I need to be in traffic and cursing everybody and giving everybody a finger. So you become aware that your body is your subconscious mind. And then you like taming the wild stallion. You taming like you're training an animal. And the moment you realize that what's happening, that's a victory. And the more you can practice becoming aware, and then you say, thought comes, it's not the truth. I don't have to do anything about it. Become an observer.
My thoughts are not me, right?
It's not me. And so as you practice, and in old Tibetan language, meditation, the literal translation is to become familiar with. What do you become familiar of or with is your dominant thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And this is part of that responsibility. And if you are responsible for your life, you say, how do I fix my life? By understanding that you can actually choose to change your thoughts, behaviors, and your feelings. And as a result, you begin to have a different experiences in your external life. And then it's a formula. It's not a rocket science, but there is a science behind it. So whether you want to go to down the route of like mystical kind of spiritual, or you want to do scientific approach, whatever works for you. But what you need to do is daily and consistently apply. And I agree with Jessica, gratitude, it's a state of being. It's one of the most powerful shortcuts to get you between where you are to where you want to be and heal on that journey of deep healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just want to point out something you said earlier, because some listeners might, if they've been in serious abuse or serious trauma in their childhood, when they say, what do you mean I need to forgive my ex, let's say, or my dad or my mom or whoever it was that abused them, right? I would say you can start with just forgiving you as a child. Just give that love to your core, you know? If it's hard to actually start forgiving the people that did the crime, so to speak, just go inside and just give your inner child that love. Just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to just love you so much. And you are safe now. You are loved. And you are not going to suffer anymore. So whatever time that trauma happened, actually just, if you were seven, just go to seven-year-old child. Look at a picture even of yourself as a child, preferably one picture that you where you were happy or you liked the picture, and just talk to the child, you know, and just say, hey, I'm going to take care of you. And as an adult, surely, if it wasn't you, or if it was a child, would you take care of a child that was feeling lonely or sad or not loved? You would, right?
Yeah.
So we can do that, and that becomes our forgiveness. So it becomes lighter and lighter to be loving towards your inner child, the core of you. So yeah, as a child.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there is a very powerful technique that I teach my students and my clients. It's like, it's a mirror technique. So you look in the mirror and you look deep behind your eyeballs and you connect to the core of who and what you are.
Yeah,
and you seven too. Things you forgive yourself for.
Yeah.
And you each time you say that one thing, you embody that feeling. You got to feel it in the core of your being, what you are forgiving. You can go back to your childhood or at any time. And by practicing self-forgiveness, that enables you to understand how to forgive others. Because if you just like a parrot say, yeah, I forgive my ex, I forgive my mother, I forgive my father, I forgive the whatever, it doesn't work. Even saying I'm grateful is the same thing. It doesn't work if you do not evoke and embody those feelings. Same with affirmations. People say, well, affirmations, they don't work. I know, because you're just repeating them like a parrot, but your feelings inside, they are in opposition to what you are saying. You're not really forgiving. You're not really grateful. You're not really feeling the self-love. And even like I said, there's a technique I said to people, like, bring a mirror to my workshop. Or if they forgot the mirror, I said, put the phone on selfie. Just look in the, look at yourself. And then just silently say, I love you. I love you. I really, really love
you. This is exactly what I did.
And people actually struggle even with that. They struggle. They're like, well, I don't feel comfortable. Well, I said, nobody can hear you. Everybody in the room is doing the same thing. Why are you feeling, why are you struggling?
Yeah.
Or I say to them, tell me three things you are proud of yourself for. Or I say seven things, but I say, tell me three things. Oh, I can't. It's difficult. Because what we practice, it's opposite of that. We practice looking for faults, what's self-critical kind of voice. You know, I'm not good enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. And it's become a subconscious program. That's our narrative, which shapes everything in our life. It's all negative. So people say positive thinking, but I tell you, positive thinking doesn't work. And the reason being is that your dominant feelings about yourself and the worldview is negative. So you can do positive thinking all you want, but it doesn't get down from the brainstem, because
that's what I was. I was in the positive thinking. My whole life, I was the positive thinker, but it didn't get to the core of me.
It didn't get to your heart, exactly. It didn't get to your emotions where I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. And you know, life gives you, whether you want to call it universe or God or life, whatever you want to call it, only gives you what you feel you are worthy of receiving. So if, and it's not measured outwardly, as in like what the success looks like. And for most people, they wait for a relationship to feel love. They wait for healing to feel wholeness.
Yeah.
They wait for money to feel abundance. And it's actually the other way around. It's you need to feel that love in your core in order to attract a partner who is also exactly like that. So now you are experiencing that kind of love even with that life partner. So it's not like a half a person broken, whatever, you know.
Same
with money, with abundance, with like, you know, financial kind of wealth, if you will, because people need money to pay for things and do things, right? So I say to people, the real richness is if you are rich in health, in happiness, in love, in success, prosperity, and money. So when you say the word abundance, it covers all of that. So
actually
you receive those things, you got to feel abundance in every core of your being, and then you're going to magnetize those things into your life. Otherwise, you're going to be repelling. And even if they don't, if they come to you and you are in opposite state, you're not going to recognize, say, no, not for me. This is not what I want, actually.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's appreciation for what you have here and now, and then it grows. It grows from you being already in abundance. You are already there. So the future, you are already in abundance. So therefore, it can only grow.
And, the human experience is that, you know, people say, well, you know, what about, you know, why do some people actually die young from illness? They're born with this. I said, listen, focus on you. Your primary problem is that you focus too much on what's going on outside.
This is what I mean about
looking for faults of who did what, who's doing wrong. Their life should be like this, and their life. And I said, well, listen, every time you point fingers, the three fingers should point at you, at yourself, because if you learn to focus on you, focus on your self-improvement, you want to change the world. Everybody's passionate. Oh, yeah, I want to change the world. The climate change, the this, the that, the other. You know, I said, you know how you change the world? You change the world by improving yourself.
Yes.
And the more you can improve yourself, you're actually contributing positively to humanity, because now your cup is full and overflowing. Because you just focus on positive thinking, your cup is empty. How are you going to contribute? How are you going to contribute to your children, to your family, to your husband, to your wife, to your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you know, to your cats, to your dogs, to humanity, right? You can't.
No, you can't.
Give from an empty cup is, you know.
And it's keeping under the word should, would, could. Should, would, could. Oh, guilt, fear. The whole system is just in constant. I should have done it this way. I should, would, could. Should, would, could. It's like a train.
You either do or you don't. There is no, you know, like you're either pregnant, you're a mother of three kids. You're either pregnant or you're not. There is no maybes, you know, like.
No. And if it's happened, it's happened. So you don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
it's unbelievable how, people are highly opinionated of everyone else's life, and they know, oh, this, that, the other, you're doing it wrong, and be careful, you're not eating this, and this is gonna be detrimental. And it's like, listen, everything I do is scientific reason. I've done a lot of, like, my life is my lab. I do a lot of studies over 3 decades of research and development, and I use myself as a test subject.
Me too.
So before I speak, and you're the same, right? So before I speak, before I say anything, I say I've been walking the talk.
Yeah.
Talking. So not only the...
We live our truth, basically. That's what we're saying.
Basically, I say, look, I've done it on myself. I've helped clients achieve the same outcomes based on the teachings. And now I want to tell as many people, 10 million, 100 million people, they need to know this, because...
Yeah.
We've been, you know, one of the like scariest things that I discovered in all these years of training and research is that how much we have been bombarded as human beings to believe that we are limited, that we are powerless.
So we are not. We are limitless. We are only using such tiny little percentage of our capacity when we don't allow our bodies to expand. You know, when we are uncertainty constantly, we do our 9-to-5, we go home, we turn on the TV, we don't speak to our partner, we don't learn communication, we don't learn listening skills, we don't actually learn how to utilize so many things within ourselves, right? We're just on some autopilot robot state, and life can be so much more magical, you know?
Absolutely. Not only can be, you can train yourself to wake up each morning to expect magic and miracles in your life. Like literally, like I'm looking forward to this day and to have these magical moments and experiences in everything that I do. Mm-hmm. You know, like there is a simple a quote or simple phrase that I tell my clients and friends and everybody to repeat. I am successful in everything that I do, every day and in every way. I am getting better and better. And then you wake up feeling like this, and you know, that's like.
For me, it's always my movie. So I create my own movie. I am the producer and
the director.
So therefore, what do you want?
You're the lead character, the director, the producer, the screenplay writer. I mean, look, and this is actually the reality. Each morning, even before you sleep, each night before you sleep, you're like, listen, this is a blank canvas. What a beautiful masterpiece can I paint on this beautiful canvas starting tonight? And I fall asleep in these juices, which is usually juices of gratitude. And you marinate and ruminate in that, and you wake up happy. And then it's like, you know, the rest of the day, I'm going to add a few other colors and designs to this masterpiece. And isn't it a wonderful way of living and actually thriving, being profoundly joyful and happy without a need for external validation or anything on the outside to make you feel happy?
It is truly that. And, you know, when you have internal love, and, you know, I also last year experienced, and this is what you're training or teaching as well, right? And what we are teaching these days on our retreats is neuroscience and, you know, neuroplasticity and how you sort of change the triggers from your past. You can actually tap the hamster wheel, you know, the stuff that you come back to and so on. And that has really yet again helped me to just come over yet another hurdle, right? To yet again, as you said, getting better and better in my own personal life. And I often hear, oh, you're such pure love, Jessica, but surely you are not fully healed. I'm like, no, I'm not fully healed. No one is ever fully healed. What does that mean anyway? Because every day we evolve. Every single day we evolve. So how can we be fully healed?
Yeah, no one is the finished article. We're a work in progress, and we are here in this physical body to have the human experience. Yes. And the human experience continues. Continue
the
growing and evolving.
Boils down to love. The
yeah.
whole human experience boils down to love.
Absolutely. And I want you to tell the audience more about your retreats. I know you had one recently and you have few more this year. So tell us more about that, please.
Yeah, I mean, what we have done, we have two other business partners. So it's Winfried Dorr, which is the owner of Sing Performance. And then we have Sarah Grace, which is, he's the neuroscience dude. And then Sarah Gray, she's very much into the nervous system and also trauma therapist and so on. She's worked extensively with sexually abused women throughout the years, right? Because she was she came from that sort of trauma. And obviously then the self-love and so on. So her and I, we really have molded our things together as such. So our retreats, it's actually a 30-day program because we start with a neuroplasticity buildup, and then we have a bilateral stimulation, and we also link in a lot of different ones and units within that. And then we also have mind mapping with Brian Main, which is incredible because it's really creating mapping of your own goals, both visually and left and right brain. And you can create for the future, but also live here and now. And there's a lot of meditations and things around that whole spiel. So it's really a 30-day program, not a retreat. But the retreat is 4 days out of those 30 days. And we are running one now in April, and we are running another one in June. We're running one in September. We are, if everything ticks the box and everything gets sorted, we will be in Dubai in October, and we're going to be in Florida, cross finger, in November for retreats out there as well. So it's very, very exciting, you know, very, very exciting. And it's something I have known for 2 years that I was going to do. Actually, it's 3 years. I have felt this because I have a lot of intuition. I have a lot of downloads from my higher self, right? So I have known that this is what I was supposed to do. I have known, and I've prepared myself for 4 years to be where I am today. So it's been in my in my sphere for a long time, but for the last 3 years or so, I have literally gone, right, we are almost there. We're just building up this, 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 and this. And because I was in property and in design, this was my side. This was my hobby. I build on the side, but I never charged. I guided people for 4 years now, over 4 years for free within self-love and all this. I never charged a penny. And then literally last year, I said, right, I'm moving into my purpose, which is what I'm doing now, right? So these retreats are magical. We want to do one for teenagers next year as well. We want to do an online one for teenagers and so on, where we can just create more hope and light and let younger people find their light and not live in their trauma that our parents brought on, you know, because they had their trauma from their childhood and so on, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So that's where I am at the moment. It's just building a future to serve humanity. And I'm strong into serving as much as we can. We are going to build an app around it. We're building programs. We want to work with young offenders, you know, and try to change their lives. You know, we are talking with the lady in Camden Council next week and trying to get around how to work with young offenders and so on. And it's exciting stuff, you know, to be able to give back to our community and to humanity and not just see people as bad or good or they did this and so on. Just open your heart, crack it open and just say, hey, you know, people come with so much shit. Those kids, for example, that have done that, they did it because they came from so much dysfunction. They are not born bad, you know. They deserve a chance because a lot of times they're just so broken.
And they don't know, that's another thing. All of those people that you mentioned, they don't know that there is another way. Mm-hmm. There is another potential outcome. There is another possibility because mm-hmm. they're just kind of like in a blinkered approach. This is, I'm looking like kind of straight ahead mm-hmm. and everywhere I look is what the life presents to me and reaffirms to me that this is the only way. Because everyone I see in front of me is same as me. And what you are saying is like you're removing the blinkers and you're like, look, there are so many other possibilities. And if you, you know, apply these tools and techniques and, you know, do this work,
yeah,
as you say, responsible, and then you will, after some time, 30 days, 60 days, 12 months, you're going to transform your life by 180 degrees. I love that. And if people want to find out more about your retreats, where can they learn more about? Is there a website, link on your Facebook or on your social media?
Yeah. See, I'm the easiest one to reach on Facebook. I'm a heavy Facebook user. So it's Jessica and then Olson Zabel, OlsonZabel. I'm not heavily into LinkedIn, but it's the same name on LinkedIn. We don't have a website yet. It's in making because our venture is fairly new, but you will find all the stuff you need on Facebook or yeah, reach out. LinkedIn is also fine. Just reach out if you want to come to the retreats or if you want to work with me or if you have any other stuff you want to discuss.
If you need interior design, work, if you need property work, if you need coaching, if you want to learn how to heal traumas and live in self-love, the unconditional self-love 24/7, Jessica is the lady for you. DM her if you cannot find the link to her retreat. DM me. I'm going to put a lot of links in this podcast on all the podcasting channels so then you can know. And I know also Jessica is posting amazing videos and things on Instagram as well. Check that out. I'll put the link in the comments as well in everywhere when the podcast is uploaded. In the live as well, I'm going to put some links on Facebook on this live as well. So amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jessica. It's been
a lot. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Have
There's so
you.
much more. I could probably have another hour and
Well,
talk.
we can, you and I, we love what we do, and we there's a lot of synergy in our work, perhaps slightly different approach, but same outcome, same mission. And
Yeah.
we could talk for days and months and, you know, days, weeks, or even years about what we love to talk about. And as you say, serving humanity. And this is why this has been Jessica Olsen Zabel or Zabel?
Zabel.
Okay, Jessica Olsen Zabel. She is an amazing human being. And this was Jessica's The Human Experience. And I'm really honored to have you on my podcast, The Human Experience. And I look forward to seeing more of your amazing work. And just curious, where geographically in London are you? Because you mentioned Camden. Where I live is Camden Borough.
Yeah, I'm in Muswell Hill.
Well, I'm around the corner. I'm in Hampstead. So
we're going to meet for coffee now.
Yeah, so we could have recorded the in-person podcast. Like, we live literally a few miles away from each other. Yeah, great. Well, okay, now that we know, we know. All right, so we will do more in-person stuff with Jessica. Maybe go live when we are sitting having coffee in Muswell Hill or in Hampstead.
I think it's fantastic.
Facebook audience, it's always great to connect in person. I love working and collaborating with people in person. So yeah, thank you so much.
I prefer that. It's always the best. And I also find that that's how you change lives the most.
Oh, yes, absolutely. When you are in a room with people, I saw some of your pictures and videos of your retreat. It looked absolutely amazing. And everybody was so happy. And I know you did like a lot of singing at the end. Like, I think on the last day it was like celebration party. Yeah. Everybody was singing.
Yeah,
and
we had.
I thought that was amazing. And I seen the pictures before and after, how people were like kind of like in their shell. And all of a sudden they're like, whoa, you know? They like looked like they had wings. They were flying from like love and happiness, which
it
is
was a lot of love, and there was a lot of happiness, and
a lot of crying, a lot of tears, release,
of
right? A lot of release, yeah, a lot of release of the baggage,
yeah,
you know, that no longer serves them. You know, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jessica. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching, for listening. Please share this with everyone, with your friends and family.
Yes, please.
This is here today to show you what's possible. I mean, if you can quantify all the traumas and all the terrible things that Jessica had to overcome to become who she is today. I mean, if she can do it, you can do it. This is the prime example of the amazing human experience. So please share with everyone, inspire others, share. Go to Jessica's retreat, buy her courses, her services, her products. Click like, subscribe if you're on YouTube. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star review. If you are anywhere listening or watching this podcast, please share with everyone and give us some thumbs up, give us a 5-star review. So this helps the algorithm make this podcast go viral. More people in this world, they need to know about these amazing, incredible guests that I have, like Jessica today. So thank you so much, my amazing viewers and listeners, and I see you in the next podcast. This is your host, Eldin Hasse. Lots of love.
Thank you so much.
All right.